Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. This is Real Talk with Shelby. I finally came up with a name. I'm super excited to actually start doing this podcast. This first episode is really kind of about how I kind of came to wanting to do a podcast and why, you know, I wanted to like put myself out there and kind of what led me to that. So I hope that you enjoy it. And if you have any ideas for what other like subjects I should do for my podcasts or anything like that, I love to hear them. Thank you so much for listening. And okay, well, hey guys, welcome to my first podcast. So admittedly, I tried to record a podcast earlier thinking, you know, it'd be really cool if I recorded podcasts while I drive for hours in my car, because that's all I ever do is I spend time in my car. And then I went back to listen to it, and let me tell you, I recorded 40 minutes of a podcast. And it was some good stuff, some really good stuff that I will not remember, but it did not sound any good at all. I'm hoping that this sounds good, and I'm hoping that it doesn't sound as god-awful as it did in my car. But anyway, it's fine. Well, welcome to my podcast. I'm actually super excited. This is not the ad part of the podcast, but I'm using the Anchor app, which is phenomenal because, like, I had no idea how to start a podcast, and I really wanted to. Don't ask me why. I was like, YouTube video, podcast, like, what can I do? I don't even know why I wanted to do something like this, but I guess we'll see how it goes. So I guess I'll kind of like basically redo what I did earlier. So kind of what I was talking about, and I guess this kind of helps because when I started the podcast earlier, I was like, let me just riff here and like not really have a plan for my podcast, but basically it'll help me to kind of like figure it out and like actually know what I want to say. But basically I really want to start a podcast, not because I feel like I have a lot to say or I feel like a lot of people want to hear what I have to say, but in a business, the business that I'm working in that is so creative, I'm working on a side of the business that is a little less creative, and more like negotiating, and you know, I'm an assistant, so I'm obviously not touching anything substantial quite yet, but obviously it's not as creative, and I kind of have to like do that myself. You know, I have to write on the weekends, or you know, watching as many films as I possibly can and as many TV shows as I possibly can. You know, I have to create that creativity in my life. So I guess that's what this is. This is kind of keeping me sane, I guess you could say. So that's cool. I'm really excited. And I'm hoping that at least one person listens to this podcast. And if not, it's fine. I'll just talk to myself once a week, I guess. We'll see how many times I actually put out an episode. Or if this even lasts. Okay. Well, I kind of just want to jump in on what I was talking about earlier, which was essentially the whole basis of what I'm about to talk about and what I'm kind of discussing today, is the idea of having your whole life planned out. And for me, I've had my whole life planned out literally to the T. Like, I mean, obviously, and I'm going to talk about this later, obviously, it wasn't like from birth I was like, I want to be in filmmaking, I want to be, you know, working in Hollywood. But anything I could plan, anything I did know I want to do, I always planned it out. And it was like to a T. If you know me, you know I carry around notebooks and, you know, everything is like super organized. Obviously, if you're sitting in my room right now, like I am, and there's a whole pile of messes everywhere, you don't really think that, but I am one very organized person, and you probably know that about me if we have been friends. But I've kind of like run into a thing in my life recently where I've realized that that's not always going to be super helpful for me as a person, which is okay. So in order to kind of get that across and to kind of like, for those of you who don't really know me, which is kind of weird because I'm pretty sure the only people that are going to listen to this podcast are people that know me well enough to want to hear my voice for however long this podcast will be. But if you don't know me, or you don't know what I've been through in the past 6 years, let me tell you a short, probably long story. So, I went to film school, right? I went to the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, School of Filmmaking. And I guess let's start with how I got there. So, filmmaking was kind of in my family. My grandpa was a screenwriter, comedian, you know, he worked in the industry. And I didn't really know much about it. I just knew that he did that, right? And I was in theater literally since grade, like, 7 maybe. And I, like, loved it. I loved theater. I loved, you know, being on stage and doing musicals. I was in choir. I was in band. You know, I was a very artistic kid. School is just not my thing. School is not my thing. It's not. But I always loved anything creative, right? Well, cut to my junior year of high school, and my mom was like, what are you going to go to school for? What are you going to go to college for? What are you going to study? And it was not an option to not go to school. I don't even remember thinking that I was not going to school because I knew that it just wasn't an option, right? And so I remember, I don't even know how I came to this realization, what made me think to even say this, because I was in theater and, you know, nothing else really interested me. I don't even remember. There was probably something, and like, it probably was like, I like movies, so I want to go to film school. But like, I really don't know what it was that made me say film school when she asked. But I was like, I want to go to film school. I want to be a director. And my mom, being the mom that she is, she looked up the top film schools. Obviously, she maybe wanted me to go closer to home. So I ended up going to the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. Or I applied. And like, honestly, that was the only school I was really interested in. Like, I think I applied to maybe 2 other schools. I don't even know what they were at this point. And I was kind of surprised that I got in. Like, you know, we went through, like, the application process, the interview process, and when the letter came that I got in, I was my mom even has the video, and I kind of just look, like, numb because I'm, like, shocked, but also, like, this is very strange. Anyway, so I got in, and, you know, I'm super excited to, like, move away from home and, like, start a new, like, adventure, whatever. And I'm telling you, it wasn't until, like, the first month of school that I even realized that this was something I wanted to do, right? And, like, from that moment on, I became the most intense planner ever. Like, I was like, all right, this is what I want to do. Cool. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, right? So I decided I wanted to be a director, and so I started to, you know, really invest myself in the directing class that I was taking and really studying, like, what it takes to be a director, and I say that with air quotes because that's a complicated thing, but I really, like, kind of invested myself in that, right? Well, I was super excited and super, like, point blank, I'm a director, end of story, period. And I tried my best, right? Well, come second year, because, like, your first year at UNCSA, you are studying every, like, kind of every aspect of filmmaking. And then your second year, you come in and you study two of, like, the disciplines. And so I did directing and then producing. Don't ask me why I did producing, but that circles back around later, obviously. So I was like directing, producing. And I took directing and producing classes, really invested in myself, ended up writing a script that was chosen to be filmed, and I was going to direct it. And super excited. It was kind of political. I say that with quotations. And I was kind of naive to the fact that I didn't know anything, obviously. And I was kind of like, this is going to be great. That's going to be amazing. Everyone's going to love it. And I'm going to be the next big director. Totally oblivious to the fact that I had no idea what I was doing. Even on set, I was like, this is great. And even my professors would come on set and be like, you're doing a great job, knowing full and well that I was going to come back and be like, that was awful. So inevitably, I did come back and I was like, that was awful. Because the footage, the film itself, looked nothing like what it did on the page or what it did in my head. And let me tell you why. Because I knew nothing about camera work. I knew nothing about, you know, production value. Not to say that it was, like, complete shit, but it was, like, half shit. it was one of those things that when you show it in front of the class, or when we showed it in front of the class, I sunk down into my chair. And then when we, like, had to go up in front of the class and talk about it, I literally didn't look anyone in the eye and, like, literally didn't say anything. And that was terrifying. And from that moment on, I decided, I mean, not moment on, but from that moment, I decided that I was never going to be a director. I completely gave up on my dream. And I was like, nope. And let me tell you, that dream was very short-lived. It was, like, literally from a month into film school to, like, the end of my second year. So it was like a year and a few months that I was like, I'm a director. And then I was like, just kidding. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. So that was terrifying. And, you know, at the end of our second year, you are literally chosen by faculty which discipline to go into. And before they could choose, I ran up to the producing faculty and I was like, listen, I suck at directing. I need to know how to make a film. I need to know what it takes. I need you to let me into this program. And to my surprise, they were like, yeah, we were going to let you in because, like, we think you have potential. And I was like, excuse me, what? And then I went to the directing faculty and I was like, so, like, I really don't think this is for me. I'm a little terrified. I don't want to do this. And my directing faculty was like, but we really think we can teach you and you can, like, learn things. And I was like, yeah, no, thanks. I'm really scared. Goodbye. So I went into producing. And admittedly, I was not happy about it, but I was like, you know what? I got to do it. I got to, you know, this is, something's here. Need to see it through. So third year, I went into producing and, you know, your third year, you're a producer. And I was like, you know what, fine. I'm going to commit to this. I like, you know, being in control. So I'm going to be a first AD. And I'm going to see if I don't have to produce anything the rest of the time I'm here. I don't want to be in the spotlight at all. So I literally made a plan to only take producing jobs that weren't actually the producer, but, like, first ADs, UPMs, all this other stuff. Like, I was like, not even going to touch producing. I'm just going to do the jobs that literally have instructions on how to do them. So I was like, not, no thank you. I'm going to do the easy stuff. And, like, literally, before I even got back to school my third year, I had it all planned out. I was like, listen, I'm going to first AD three films, faculty's going to let me do it, and that's just going to be my curriculum all year. I get back to school, and literally the first thing they say to producers is, you have to produce a film. And I was like, good God, why, man? So I went to faculty, and I was like, please, don't want to do this. Don't, no, thank you. Just want a first AD. And they were like, yeah, you're a pretty great first AD, but no. And I was like, wow, everything sucks here. I'm being a little dramatic for emphasis, but then I was approached to produce a film that I kind of wasn't interested in, but they wanted me to be line producer, which creative producer versus line producer is a little more like cut and paste, like, this is what you do. And I was like, fine, sure, I'll take the credit for being a wine producer. And then another person approached me and was like, hey, we know you like Back to the Future. We've got a little movie for you that's kind of like Back to the Future, but not really. So you want to do it? And I, like, read the script, and knowing me, I fell in love with it, and I was like, crap, what do I do? I don't want to produce something. I don't want to be in control. And then I went to my faculty again, and they were like, yeah, you're producing this. And I was like, great, great. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. So, inevitably, my first time ever producing, I ended up producing two films, like, within the same month, which was fun. And it was, like, literally, I went from one plan to the next. Like, it wasn't like, let me take a breather and think about things. It was like, literally, like, okay, here's my plan. All right, scrap that, throw it away. Here's my plan. And I literally lived off of a notebook, color-coded notebook with, like, stacks of to-do lists with each project, each class I was taking. Like, I wish I could find that notebook somewhere because it's literally, like, insane. And I would never throw away a page. I would always, like, just, like, cross out what I did and, like, turn to the next page. Like, there is a notebook either somewhere in my apartment or somewhere in my parents' house that is insanely, like, ripped up and written all over in multiple different colors. But that notebook got me through my entire third year. And then after that year, the insanity that it was, I again tried to make the idea to my producing faculty that I was never going to produce again, and I was only going to first AD next year. They got me again, and they were like, yeah, no, you have to produce something. And I was like, great. So I ended up producing one film my fourth year. But before we get to fourth year, let me just sidestep into the summer between my third and fourth year. My mom was very adamant about me, you know, coming out to LA and interning or, you know, doing something within the industry so that I could either make a name for myself or whatever, or learn something. So I was like, fine. So I went out to LA and I ended up getting two internships. One was at a production company and another was at a talent management company. And, you know, I was kind of more excited about the talent. I was more excited about the production company because that's what I knew. You know, I knew script to screen, I knew production, I knew all of that. I didn't know anything about talent management, but I was like, you know, it's something I don't know about the industry, might as well learn. Also, it's like good to have on a resume. And so I ended up, funnily enough, midway through my summer, I realized that I enjoyed being at the talent agency or the talent company more than I did the actual production company I was working for. So basically, I was like, you know, I'm very interested in talent management. I think that's what I want to do. And it was like, that's how, like, much I loved it. And, like, it wasn't just because it was fun. It was like I was learning something. I was, like, really connecting with the idea of being someone for these actors and all of these people that were in the industry that they came to and that helped them do better and be better and be who they wanted to be. I loved the idea of being that help and that like person for someone else. And so I was very drawn to that industry, that part of the industry. So when I came back my fourth year, I was like, listen, I'll produce this film, but I want everyone to know that I want to be a manager. That's it. So I literally for a year was like, that's it. I figured it out. I'm good. I don't need anyone else to say anything else. And then, you know, all my professors and everyone that's worked in the industry is like, if you want to be a good producer, you've got to work in an agency. Like, yes, you can work in a management company, but an agency is so, like, cutthroat and so, like, that's where you'll learn the most, right? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm never working in an agency. I want to be a manager, and that's all I want to do, and I don't need to work in an agency to know how to be a manager. Oh my god, like, saying all this stuff back, literally, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Anyway, so I know that going into my fourth year, right, that's what I know to be true, that I want to be a manager. And, you know, I'm finishing up wrapping my fourth year film, and I'm like, wow, I'm like, it's going to be a very long time before I ever touch a film set again. I ever produce or direct or even first AD or PA ever again. You know, it's going to be a very long time. And so I started to get like really like sad and like worried, because like that I fell in love with that. That was one of the things I fell in love with while being at film school, was being on set and working on set. And so then I started to panic about the idea of becoming a manager and not being able to be on set and not being able to do the things that I loved. And so, yeah, I panicked. But the thing is, after telling everyone I was going to be a manager, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to back out of that. I'm not going to let anyone know that I'm terrified. So I was just like, I'm going to be a manager. That's the end of it. I don't want to do anything else. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I don't, you know, I'm not freaking out or anything. But I was freaking out. And, you know, I came out to LA after graduation, and I was like, all right, I got to stick to my guns here. I got to find a job within management. And, you know, if it ends up not working out, I'll come up with some excuse. It's like, oh, well, it didn't work out. I found something else. Oh, God, I'm such an idiot. So I basically, you know, within like 2 months, maybe, I find a job at a really great management company. I'm an assistant to 3 different managers, and for a while it's going great. And you know, I'm still like very adamant about not working at an agency. I know that, you know, this may not be something I want to do, but you know, I'm enjoying it, whatever. And then it ends up, long story short, it doesn't, you know, not the best place for me. It wasn't the right fit. So then, you know, I end my time at that job while simultaneously moving into an apartment by myself. And I'm like, finding another job shouldn't be too hard, but I'm also broke right now, so I need to do it immediately. So I'm like kind of panicking, and I'm kind of freaking out. And, you know, I'm like literally at home all day, not doing anything. Money is literally flying out my window. And the owner of the management company that I interned for the summer before contacted me and was like, hey, listen, come into the office. Let's talk. I might have an idea for you. So I go into her office, and she's like, I know this company, this agency that is looking for a new assistant. And like in my head, I was like, absolutely not. No, thank you. I will not. I refuse. Not in the plan. Not what I want to do. So she was like, you know, you're going to give it a try. You're just going to at least go in. So I was like, fine. So I went in and I interviewed. But let me tell you something. When I walked into this building, when I walked into this office, I literally, you know, like, I was at a point where my own apartment didn't feel like home. My grandmother's house, my aunt's house, my job, LA in general, just did not feel like home. I wanted to go home so badly. I wanted to go back and live with my parents. I wanted to like live on a farm and just work a dumb job and maybe make a few short films on my free time. Like literally, I was so done with this industry after, you know, 6 months of working here. I was done. I was over it. Nothing felt right. Nothing felt good. When I walked into this office, it was like angels were singing and everything was fine, and this is where I belonged. And I have never felt like that before until, like, I hadn't felt like that before since UNCSA, since my first month at UNCSA. And that was crazy. It was wild. I was like, I have to try here. I have to try getting this job. So I interviewed with 2 of the agents there, and still in the back of my head, I'm like, I don't want to work at an agency. It's not what I want to do. It's not what I want to do. It's like knocking on my head, right? But like the other part of me is like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. You have to do this. You have to try your best. So I'm like conflicted, and I meet with 2 of the agents, and you know, they're kind of like, this is what we do. This is like what your day to day would be like. This is like how we roll. And it's like all of the things that I did at my other job, things that I've already known how to do, things I like, programs I already know how to work with. And like, it was like, okay, this is easy. Bring me more. And then they got up and left, and the CEO of the company walks in, and he was like, kind of just want to give you a rundown of like how I run my company and why I got into the agency. He was basically saying things that literally, it was like he like knew what I wanted to hear and knew what would win me over to the agency side. And he basically said like, I want to take care of my clients and make sure that not only are they making good films and they're doing good work and they're making money, but also that they're doing it with intention to change the world. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but like they're donating their money to good charities, they're, you know, doing good work, they're like, you know, they're making a difference, and like all the things I needed to hear. And literally the next day, they called me in to do a trial run, and I was like, I'm not gonna fault, I'm not gonna make a mistake, I'm getting this job, end of story. And a week later, they were like, we want to offer you the job. They ended up offering more than I was being paid before. And literally, I was so shocked at the idea that I had not planned for this, and it was better than what I had planned for. And that, my friends, is what I was, you know, that was the whole story was coming to that point of I never really allowed myself to believe that the second I stopped planning that things would be okay. I always believed that the second I stopped planning is the second things go crazy, things go wrong. And I can't tell you how that realization has changed my life. Like, I feel like I can breathe now. I feel like, yes, even though, like, my life, like, the year, next year isn't planned out, 4 years aren't planned out, I don't know what's gonna happen within the next few, like, months of my life. And yes, that comes with that's adulthood. You're not always gonna know what's next. At least, like, when you're in college and in high school, you know, okay, in 3 years, 4 years, I'll graduate, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, in life, it's not always like that. It's not like you don't know what's coming. You really don't know what's coming next in life. But I was not going to let that happen. That was like not something I was okay with. Like, I, even graduating college, I was like, okay, I'm gonna work as an assistant for 2 years and then I'm gonna find something else in the industry or I'm gonna be promoted. Like, I was having it planned out to the T, and I can't tell you how freeing it is to not do that. I feel like I'm living for once in my life. I feel like I can actually breathe. I feel like I can actually be myself. I can actually do things that I want to do. Like today, and I know somebody's going to make fun of me for this, but today I bought tickets to see the Jonas Brothers in October. I promise you, I would not have done that if, you know, past Shelby would not have done that. Shelby would have been like, I don't even know if I should spend this money. I don't know if I'll even be here in October. I don't even know. Like, I was just like, maybe I shouldn't. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that because what if, you know, something happens at work? Like, I was so high strung, so up my own butt, like, literally scared of everything. And now I just kind of feel like it's a Saturday night and I'm sitting here recording a podcast, which sounds lame, but I have read three scripts tonight, which, you know, I never really allowed myself to like sit and read or sit and chill because I was always like, I gotta do something productive. And yes, obviously reading scripts is productive working in this industry, but like these are scripts that like I don't really have to read. You know, I'm reading them for my own pleasure. And then, you know, I watch TV at my own leisure time. You know, like I'm not always planning things out. All of that to say, I would like to encourage people who are like me who like to plan. And let me tell you this also before I continue. I do still plan things out. I do still, like my job, I do well because I know how to plan things out. But I do it for particular things. Like my job, I sit throughout my day and I'm an assistant, so I work for someone else and I plan out their lives. I'm going on vacation, I'll plan that out. You know, like it's good for certain things, but and that's what I'm learning, that it doesn't have to control my entire life, and it's made me feel so freeing. And I'm 100% certain that a lot of people that have watched me kind of develop into this newer version of myself have kind of seen that I'm a little less crazy. I'm a little less like high strung and, you know, I'm more laid back, or at least I hope that's what they see. But anyway, I highly, highly encourage all of you who are like that to at least like try to take a breather. Try to like really allow yourself to just step back and look at your life for what it is rather than what you think it should be. The universe will tell you what you need and you have to listen to it. And I think that that's very important, because you can think you know what you need, and whether you believe in God or you don't, you believe in whatever you believe in, whatever your higher power is, they are telling you what you need, and you're telling, and if you're like contradicting that or you're not listening to that, it's really gonna mess up with what's made for you. And I think that, again, whatever you believe in, you really need to like put your like full heart and your full strength into just letting whatever life is about to bring you happen, and not to just like lay back and like not care, but like do your best to your best ability at all times, and the good that you need, whether it's big or small, will come to you. And I think that that's very important, and it's allowed me to kind of just be more grateful and to also be more myself and calmer and to just like let life happen. And I know I'm like talking in circles and it sounds crazy, but like I've never felt more like myself than I do now. Like before, I would have never been able to live alone because I would have been too scared to do that. I never would have been able to work for the CEO of my company because I would have been too scared, because it's just not in my cards is probably what I would have said. I would have said, I don't want to be an agent, so I don't want to work for the CEO of the company because that's just not a good trajectory. I'm like in a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to learn the most from this moment. And if like, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't want to be an agent. I'm going to know how agents work, because like if I end up being a producer, I'm going to know how to talk to an agent. Like we need to look at, like, I'm not going to say we need to, but it's helping me to look at things in a different light when I'm not always being so high strung. Anyway, that's this episode. That's what I wanted to talk about. And as I said, I recorded all of this in my car earlier, and I'm pretty sure that that all sounded, what I said was better, but it just didn't sound good because I was recording in my car. I hope that that makes sense. If, you know, that's ever happened to you, let me know. Like you, like if you're like a planner and you totally get what I'm saying and you have a better way of saying it, please let me know. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening to my first podcast. If you have ideas for like what I should talk about next, or, you know, like topics, whatever, let me know. Yeah, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Bye, guys.